Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, we're live this morning inside of Jack Daniel's Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena, as we welcome in Preds TV color analyst Chris Mason. He's brought to you by Smoky Mountaintop. C. Mace, what's going on? How are you?
Well, we can't hear him.
The constable has not turned on his microphone.
Yeah. No, he did. Something happened here.
Yep.
There we go.
There we go.
I'm here.
There he is.
I was
perfect.
Just in the middle of
You're
saying
so
I was fantastic, and I'm doing great, and I'm ready for the big match. So I just regurgitated.
All right. So we'll get to Austin Watson in a little bit. But I want to know what you've seen from Callie Yarncroke, Craig Smith, and Colton Sissons. They hadn't played more than 12 minutes together. Lavi puts them together against the Kings. It works. He puts them together against the Sharks. It works like 8 seconds into the game. What is it about that combination? Certainly Colton is as consistent as it gets. What is it about those three that has worked? And do you think Lavi just rides it out? Do you think it could actually be the second line for this team moving forward, at least this year?
I think right now you definitely have to consider that because, you know, they were in a position where things weren't going great and they're looking for that spark. Obviously, you know, they tried splitting up the Joffe line to try to get something going. With Granlund and moving those guys around, and nothing really seemed to click, and that was the first one that actually did. So I think as of now, you've got to keep those guys together. They're playing so good, but they're both, you know, Colton Sissons is up and down the walls, physical. You know, he's nothing fancy, but he's got a little bit of offensive upside, does the right things out there. He's done a good job of getting pucks in the net. Craig Smith goes hard to the net. He's got that skill. He's got that fire. He's got that speed, and Callie Yarncroke is similar to Sissons in a way. There's, you know, nothing's going to blow you away, but he always does the right things kind of behind the scenes. He doesn't make mistakes, and, you know, when you put those three together, and I think Craig's been playing really good hockey lately, so I think it was nice for him to get with a couple guys that are really predictable and trustworthy.
Preds get 4 out of 6 points on the road. They've now won 4 of their last 6 games, but yet maybe some fans are proceeding with caution, wondering if this team is turning the corner. How big would a sweep this week of Toronto and Pittsburgh in this building go for rebuilding the fan base from top to bottom? Everybody's saying, okay, here we go. This is the run we needed.
It would be huge. This is, you know, quite honestly, you look at the schedule, it's tough. But I really think, you know, given the way things have been going for the Preds, this is exactly what they need in terms of the level of competition, ramping it up for playoffs and getting into these type of games where you go into these games thing. If you don't play your game, you know, Toronto's got a team, they've been up and down lately, but if they got a team, if you have an off night, they're going to pump you. And same with Pittsburgh. So I think it could do a lot. I feel like that San Jose game, the LA, they didn't play great, but they did it the right way. They worked hard and came out with a win. But that San Jose game, to me, was that looked like the team. Now they have to follow that up tonight. I guess win or lose, as long as they look like that, they have that confidence and they're doing the right things, to me, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I like that it's a hard schedule because there's no guesswork about it. Like, you're either going to play well against good teams and feel good going into the postseason, or you're not, and there's no real gray area. We're all going to know together as we watch him play. Austin Watson reinstated by the NHL. Looks like he'll be out for morning skate today. Just in general, certainly it's a depth piece if he were to be back on the roster and playing again at any point. Just let's go through just the hockey side of this. What does it take for a guy who's been away from everybody? Does it take a week of being around the team and then a couple of regular season games so that he's capable of going in the postseason? Certainly has familiarity. What's the process like to be up to speed, and can he do it in a short period of time?
You know, it's obviously it's different for everybody. I think if you look at his last situation where he had the suspension, you know, he was able to skate, and, you know, this time around he wasn't able to skate. So it's one of those things where game conditioning is tough to get back, especially when you miss a big chunk of the season and things are amplified so much more. The games, you know, it's faster, it's more detailed. There's none of those middle season games that get away from you. So it takes a while, and it is different. He did a good job last time, and coming back, and he scored goals right away, and he's that type of player that I don't think it would take too long, but it's definitely going to take some practice, conditioning, And obviously, you need games. You need games.
So he's not allowed to skate with the team, obviously, and he's not allowed to skate in any official capacity with the team. But is he not allowed to go to, like,
he is
a rink?
Oh, yeah, you mean
while he's in the program, can he not just go to his own rink on his own time and work out and train?
Yeah, I'm sure he was staying in shape. I don't know how much he skated. I haven't, this was the first I heard of it yesterday, too. But I assume he could if that was part of the, you know, the program and everything, if there was allowances for that, for sure.
Chris Mason is joining us here at Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Kyle Turris benched the last couple of games. We know Colton Sissons really stepped up, some second-line scoring and secondary scoring. What will it take? Is it as simple as to get Turris going? Is it one goal? Is it a defining moment? How do you get going eventually? Or is it too late at this point?
No, it's not. It's never too late. I think it is one of those moments that can really turn you around. And quite honestly, him being out the last two games, when you're in this season, you're in a slump and you play every second night. It's either a game day or you're preparing for a game. So the night before, and it's always that preparation. And when things aren't going good, you just feel weighed down and it's heavy and it's hard to get out. You know, he had a couple days there, and out in California, and you're not worrying about getting ready for a game. You can just kind of take yourself out of your situation, the slump that's been. And he knows every player. You have your expectation. You're your worst critic. So it's tough. So I think that time off can be really beneficial in terms of changing the mindset coming in. Now you're hungry. You're not gonna healthy scratch a Kyle Turris. I don't know how many times he's got a player like that's been scratched in his career. So this is another way to try to motivate someone like Kyle.
So I want to. Nobody thinks that UC Saros is going to start the postseason as the goaltender. It's Pekka-Rinne's team. He's going to start game one, and there's no real discussion there. It doesn't mean that UC Saros hasn't created at least some conversation amongst the coaching staff. Should Pekka struggle in the postseason, which unfortunately he's been pulled six times in the last three playoff series. What is it now? He's more rested this year. He's started fewer games than he will in the last couple of seasons. Is there something that you've seen out of Pekka in the postseason that is different? Is it just higher? You're playing against the best competition. What is it that you've seen from Pekka in the last few playoff series that is maybe leading to his performance? Is there anything at all you can put your finger on?
Well, I'll tell you what, as a goaltender, you're more often not a product of what's happening in front of you. And I think last postseason in particular, I think, I'll go back to both of them, but last one, the team was very up and down. Pekka was very up and down. It was really an anomaly to me because, especially at home, and I don't know if it was the sense that the Preds had more pressure, anything but a Stanley Cup final was not, we were all kind of, they won the President's Trophy. They went to the final the year before and the way that season was.
I think the city just assumed they were going to wake up and be in the finals. And I don't think Nashville had fully learned how hard it really is to get there.
That's the thing. You look at this league, there's probably eight teams, I think, could legitimately win the Stanley Cup. Everyone's automatically giving it to Tampa Bay. But even though in the East, there's a ton of teams. Pittsburgh gets hot. Boston's a good team. Toronto, who knows if they get going, but and then the West, there's about six teams out in the West that are, I would say, in the same boat as a contender that could win.
As we wrap it up here with Chris Mason, I don't know if you're aware of this. I know you're aware from the Preds angle. They've won two in a row, four of the last six, playing good hockey. So if things do go awry, the blame is solely on Chase McCabe, because I'm not sure if you're aware.
The constable has actually trimmed
up the lettuce a little bit.
Yeah, he cut the hair.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
You trimmed the flow. That's
amidst the winning streak.
Right after two wins.
Oh, my gosh.
They play their best hockey game in 3 months, and Constable cuts his hair.
He doesn't
Maybe
believe
it's
in that stuff,
he cut his hair.
Well, no, the game happened before.
Ah.
Derek?
But maybe he
did,
maybe
he was
maybe
thinking about cutting his hair.
Maybe he made the appointment.
Exactly.
Oh,
absolutely.
Keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely. Made the appointment. There we go.
Oh, give me a break.
Might have to give out a citation. I'm just saying.
Are you guys,
this week goes wrong.
Yeah, we're blaming Constable here, okay?
I'm not going to
join
blame
the team and
no,
blame.
I'm not blaming
let's pile
not.
On the Constable.
We know he makes
blaming.
No spelling errors though. When
that's
he
true.
Tweets.
That's true.
I heard
that's
that
correct.
Before. That was
he edits his tweets.
That's Constable.
Listen, this is what we do. We are petty on this show. We pile on. That's what we do.
Chase, I'm not going to pile on, man. I'm not.
It's a 15-yard flag if you pile on.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Shut up. Keep your mouth shut.
Great stuff as always from Chris Mason, Preds TV color analyst. 90s night tonight, by the way.
Yeah. 90s night. I'm on the desk.
When I say 90s, what comes to mind for you?
Ooh. Oh, my whole – that was a big decade for me. I had a lot of things happen. Met my wife.
Nice little stretch, right?
Moved away from home, went and played junior, blah, blah, blah. Played traded to Nashville. Everything happened.
What music do you think of when you think of the 90s? Do you
I was
think
like
of
a grunge
rock?
Yeah, I was like Pearl Jam, Nirvana. That was my
the last great music, last great musical revolution this country's ever going to see.
I 100%. I hear.
Yeah, it's a true story, boys.
Another one coming.
All right, there he is.
Dude, Drake is not going to inspire a musical revolution.
Another one's coming.
All right. Would you call him earlier? The Amigos?
Yeah, another one's coming. I'm telling you, another one's coming. Never say never.
That's right.
Say never.
All right, great stuff. Chris Mason with us. We appreciate it, C-Mace.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you next week. The Big Finish coming up next. Stay there.